Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Catholic Singles. Every day, hundreds of Catholic singles join CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Breadbox Media listeners get 20% off by using the promo code BREADBOX when they register. Come be our next success story at CatholicSingles.com. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
O Lord my God, thou searchest me, my heart and mind are known to thee. Nothing is hidden from thy eyes, when I sit down and when I rise, and from afar.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit may be truly wise, and ever rejoice in this consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Lady Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Father Lanteri,
pray for us.
Saint Ignatius Loyola,
pray for us.
All God's angels and saints. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good evening. So we're going to go back to our text. And what I'd like to do is start with 186, number 186. We had 2 weeks of break because I explained the life of John Bosco and St. Francis de Sales. So we'll return to the reading of the text. So 186. You all have a copy. If not, Eric's giving out copies. Just raise your hand. Eric will give you a free copy. Okay, so you have it, 186. Okay, those who are new to the Diary of Saint Faustina, we give out copies, but if you ever like, you can just bring the text. So it's up to you. Okay, just probably something that's obvious to you, but those who are new, it may not be, is when you have the bold print, okay, that's when Jesus is speaking directly to her. So there's a certain magnitude to that. So those words are actually the most important words in the text itself. So in 86, you got both 86 and 87, 186, 187. Jesus is actually speaking to Faustina, and he's speaking to me, and he's speaking to you. So try to see it this way, that right now, Jesus is speaking to you through these words. Okay? You have to see it that way. Jesus is speaking to you through these words. And these words are going to enrich your spiritual life and enrich your prayer life. That's the primary thrust of coming here, is that we'll all grow in our relationship with Christ. We will all grow in our prayer life. That's another way of saying growing in a relationship with Christ. So don't see these meetings as simply academic, intellectual, theoretical exercise, but exercise that want to motivate us to go beyond where we're at. Okay. John of the Cross, one of his classics is the Ascent to Mount Carmel. This is Carmelite spirituality. And he compares our spiritual life to climbing a high mountain. Okay? Climbing a high mountain. You've ever done mountain climbing? I have in Italy. I've done it here. I'm not an expert at it, no? But climbing a mountain, it's hard work. Okay, it's hard work. And the last time I did it, my younger brother brought his little kids to climb Mount Kearsarge in New Hampshire. I hadn't climbed a mountain in 30 years, so I was out of practice, no? And they were running up like rabbits. I was falling, tripping, slipping, getting bruised, you know? And they actually beat me to the top. And the reason why it was so difficult, because we're walking at 8 o'clock in the morning. That means the dew, the moisture, so you were not able to get any traction and to kind of dig into the dirt, into the mountain. So I'm trying to give a modern interpretation of John of the Cross, no? My experience of climbing mountains. I give myself maybe a C minus on a really good day, okay? Normally a D, maybe a D minus, no? Okay, so see ourselves as trying to scale a high mountain. The top of the mountain is heaven. Amen? All right. Today Jesus said to all of us, to me, I desire that you know more profoundly the love that burns in my heart for souls. Okay, let's stop at that. I'm going to read that again. I desire that you know more profoundly the love that burns in my heart for souls. If you really love Jesus, you have to love what he loves. Now repeat, if you really love Jesus, you have to love what he loves. What does he love? He loves souls. We're always trying to make Ignatian connections. This is principle and foundation. This is the call of the King. This is the passion of Christ on the cross. These are different ways in which we can flesh this out. So if you really feel that your thermometer is very low in this desire of Christ, be converted. Okay? Be converted tonight. You should have a real thirst, hunger, to do all you can to save souls. I know about you people, but I battle with this every day. Until I die, I battle with this. For me, I read this, I feel uncomfortable. In a good sense, I'm not nervous or tense, but I feel, you know, flaco, muévete. I mean, come, let's move on. You know? Come on, let's go. Hey, come on, broomy boy, let's move. There's a lot of souls to be saved. You know, that's actually good. If I was just patting myself on the back, well, okay. I heard a few confessions. I said a mass. I've done my part. We should never say this word. I'm going to teach a word in Spanish. Never say basta. Not pasta, but basta. You can say basta with a pasta, but never say basta. Basta with the pasta, that's fine, but never say basta, which means enough in saving souls. Amen? What was the motto of John Bosco? Dan? Okay, give me souls and take all the rest, right? We talked about that last week. You forgot that when they talked about John Bosco. You forgot about my conference, did you not? Okay. Review your notes, okay? Bosco, give me souls and take all the rest away. Amen? I know, this number is for me is powerful. I desire that you know more profoundly the love that burns in my heart for souls. Let's stay on this. Okay, do any of you have a painting or picture or statue of the Sacred Heart in your home? How many of you do? Did you ever, maybe some of you can maybe write a literary masterpiece on the difference between the depiction of Divine Mercy and the Sacred Heart. I don't think anyone's ever written on that yet. Maybe write a 100-page book. Maybe that's my next book. Okay. I don't think there's that, because in the Divine Mercy, that the heart of Jesus is within him. It's there. What about the devotion of the Sacred Heart? This is the first Friday of the month, right? Where is it? It's outside. It's outside his body. You've got it right there below the altar, right? Okay, a classical image of the Sacred Heart is you've got the Sacred Heart that's outside the body of Christ. Sometimes he even has it in his hand. Okay. The one that I see in my mind is the heart is surrounded by light and fire. Any biblical passage? I have come to cast fire on this earth. I love that passage. I've come to cast fire on this earth, and I'm not in peace, at peace until that fire be enkindled. Come to cast fire. Not at peace until that fire is enkindled. Below that, you can see above the cross, above the heart, a cross. It's planted at the very top of the heart. So the Sacred Heart of Jesus is related to the cross. In what way? The spear or lance pierced and penetrated the heart of Christ, from which came blood and water. What else? You see, the heart is surrounded by thorns. What does that mean? As well as Immaculate Heart of Mary, a Lady Fatima has her heart surrounded by thorns. Those thorns are the sins of the world, as well as our sins. Then you can see, if you look closely at the Sacred Heart, you can see there's a hole. There's a hole in his heart. Why? Because the lance that penetrated the heart, the side of Christ, it penetrated his heart too. Then you can see blood dripping out of the heart. Okay, I have never really expounded on this in great detail, but there's no reason why you couldn't do this in your holy hour. As you sit in front of that picture and you spend the whole hour going into the heart and trying to talk to the Lord by means of the many symbols that are present there. The fire, that's also the Holy Spirit. You got the cross, the symbol of love. You got the heart, surrounded by thorns, the sins of humanity, our own sins. You got the open heart. The saint, like Saint Bernard says, we should seek refuge in the heart of Christ. The dripping blood. Calvary, but every time I lift up the chalice in the Mass, right? Every time I lift up the host in the Mass, you could make a holy hour just contemplating in image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It's not that you have to have a doctorate in art to be able to do it, no? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Holy Spirit is the best teacher in the world, right? He's a great teacher. And take it one more step. You heard me say this. When you receive Holy Communion, who do you receive? Jesus, his body, blood, soul, and divinity. What is the most noble, the two most noble organs in the human person? Got a doctor here? The heart. So every time we receive Holy Communion, it's a heart transplant. Amen? Heart transplant. So what you were meditating when you received communion, the Sacred Heart of Jesus becomes part of your heart. There really is a heart transplant. And if you want to grow in holiness, you want to go in holiness, you want to overcome any sin or vice, that's the secret. All of the sins that we battle with can be consumed and destroyed by the fiery Sacred Heart of Jesus that you receive in Holy Communion. Do you believe it? The more we understand that, the holier we're going to become. And the more easy it will be for us to overcome our impatience, our pride, our lust, our anger, our laziness, our materialism, our jealousy. All those ugly, sinful tendencies can be consumed by the fire of the love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus present in every Holy Communion. Do you believe it? Do you? It's true. Okay, next step before we finish, we'll move into the other part of the paragraph. Ask you a question that you can bring to prayer. Okay, right now, what is the best way that you can save souls? Okay, all of you have to, that should be brought to prayer. That should be brought to prayer. I think it's a very important question. So you're sitting in front of Jesus. Lord Jesus, what do you want me to do to work with you? John Paul II calls it, we're all called to be little, mini, miniature co-redeemers. That's John Paul II. Mary's the co-redemptrix, we're called to be little co-redeemers, to fill up what is lacking in the Passion of Christ. What does that mean? Passion of Christ was complete, but he wants us to collaborate with him. Have enough courage to bring that to prayer. Okay, I'll help you, and then tomorrow when you do your holy hour, bring that to prayer. Fulton Sheen, first come, then go. You forgot my interpretation of that. First come is this. Your apostolic work is in direct proportion or commensurate with a deep contemplative life, not the other way around. If you look at the cross, you've got the vertical and then you've got the horizontal. The vertical bar is going up, the horizontal bar is extending out. So for you to be an efficacious apostle of Christ, you have to go deeper and deeper and deeper in your prayer life. I know from experience, if I'm really fervent in my prayer life, God just places one thing in front of me, then another, then another, then another, then another, then another. And it's almost as if he's doing all the work. In other words, if you're really praying well, basically God is going to be doing the work with you to save souls. You just have to say yes. It's like if you're going sailing and there's wind, open up the sails and let the wind. Let the wind get into your sails. Let the wind do the work. No sailors here? Let the Lord blow into your sails. He'll do the work. Amen? He'll do the work if you open up your sails. But this is the greatest desire of Jesus in this book that we're reading, which will finish by the year 2050. Okay? Is that the Lord wants the salvation of souls. He wants you to help him out. And me too. He wants us to be his hands and his feet and his mouth and his heart. He wants you to work with him. He could have done it all by himself, but he's chosen all of us as his collaborators to drop the nets, to drop the nets, and to pull up the fish out of the water. Amen? Then Jesus says this, and you will understand this when you meditate upon my passion. You weren't expecting that, were you? Well, doesn't surprise me. Okay, now in the Passion of Christ, Passion of Christ, what detail of the Passion of Christ seems to touch you most? As I'm meditating upon the mysteries of the Rosary, and I've been faithful to my New Year commitment up to this point. I've said my four rosaries every day up to today. Still got another 10 months and 3 weeks to go, but I'm heading in that right direction. And all of you prayed your four rosaries every day since January 1st, right? Well, you can start today. Better late than never, huh? But as I meditate upon the sorrowful mysteries, instead of trying to grasp it all, what I'm trying to do is just take one little detail. For example, okay, the agony in the garden. There's a lot there. There's a lot. Take one detail. Maybe it's when the angel comes to console Jesus. Remember that? That's from Dr. Luke. Maybe you're called to be that angel. Scourging. So much there. Maybe it's the pool of blood that Gibson presents. It's like not just trickling, but a pool of blood. How about the crowning? I think all of us have been moved by the movie of Mel Gibson. I was really touched when they came in salt, they called him Hail King of the Worms. Now that hit me. Can you go much worse than that? Hail King of the Worms? How about the carrying of the cross? There you got the way of the cross. Maybe it's the film of Mel Gibson, William Simon of Cyrene, who is carrying the cross with his arm intertwined with the arm of Christ. I like that. The deep union that's intertwined, interlaced. How about Jesus dying on the cross? Remember once speaking to a doctor. And the doctor said that, you know, one of the most painful ways to die is to die of asphyxiation, of suffocation. Is that true? Is that true? Well, didn't Jesus die partially of that? And all of this is his manifestation of love for us. Amen? All that's a manifestation of his love for every one of you. All of you are very precious in the eyes of God. So Jesus is saying, if you want to have apostolic zeal, you really want to save souls, what's going to be the trigger or the catalyst is to meditate upon the Passion of Christ. You know, we're going to be entering into Lent. It's getting close. Getting close. It's a time in which we want to renew our meditation upon the Passion of Christ. Let's read on. Will understand this when you meditate upon my passion. Call upon my mercy on behalf of sinners. Okay, let's stop there. How are all of you with respect to the mercy hour? Más o menos. Some of you don't even know what it is. You should. Mercy hour is 3 p.m. Más o menos. Menos que más. It's a key moment. Maybe as a result of this talk, starting tomorrow, 3 p.m. is going to be a very special, even if it's a couple of seconds, or maybe 1 minute. Do any of you remember what Jesus told St. Faustina to do at the Mercy Hour? Now, it's not what you think. I'll tell you. He said, if it's possible, come in to make the way of the cross. Second, said if you can't make the way of the cross, at least come in to visit the Blessed Sacrament. Many of you can't do that, but the third thing we can all do, which is when our Lord was dying at the mercy hour, he wants us to unite ourselves with the agony of Jesus on the cross. Jesus being abandoned. Jesus who said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, what? To unite yourself with Jesus in his last agony. Now, if you can do that and offer that, uniting yourself with Jesus dying on the cross, offer that for all the people that are dying. All the people that are dying. In that moment, and all the people that will die the rest of that day. You know what the promise is? Jesus says, God the Father can deny you nothing. Little co-redeemers. Little co-redeemers. What would happen if the 100 of us here would do that every day? How many more souls will be saved for all eternity? Can I tell you? Say, for example, most of us live, you know, another 20 years maybe, 25 years. The younger people, maybe 30, 40 years, no? So say the average of all us, we get some younger people or some older people, an average, we're all going to live another 20 years. It's going to be a lot of souls. Right, Lupe? A lot of souls. A lot. You know, I think I see it like going to an orchard, a pear or apple, a fruit orchard, where you have these the ripe fruit that are ready for the picking. You ever see that? Maybe in the Philippines or in Italy when I was there, or here in California, the oranges that are ripe for the picking. What happens if you don't pick them? They fall and they rot. Symbolic of souls falling into hell and rotting for all eternity. But if we can pluck them, gather them into the barn, there's a lot of souls that are there ready for our helping to bring them into the barn. And then I never tire of this. We're talking of working with Jesus to save souls. If it ever happens that you're called to the bedside of someone that's dying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Go there. Be there. And pray the chaplet of divine mercy. Salvation. Carry in your wallet or your purse. Say at least carry at least 10 to 20 of those little holy cards. Wherever you go, those circumstances, give them out. Give them out. And once you have no more, buy another 1,000 for 15, 20 bucks. Always have a store of them. Here in LA, you should have 1,000 in English and another 1,000 in Spanish. Yeah. Those are the two principal languages of LA. Okay? Give them up and pray it. If no one wants you to pray, say, hey, we're Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, pray it anyway. Yeah? Pray it anyway. And you can be the instrument of saving immortal souls. Have any of you ever read James chapter 5? How about James chapter 6? This group here are going to say James chapter 6 is our favorite chapter. No, there's only 5 chapters in James, okay? James chapter 5, the Word of God says, whoever brings a wandering soul back to the fold saves his soul and covers a multitude of sins. Wow. That should motivate you. Whoever brings a wandering sheep back to the fold saves his own soul and covers a multitude of sins. Interpretation? You're going to make it to heaven? And much less time? And guess where? Anna Maria? Purgatory. Salvation? Much less time in purgatory. I see. Are you happy to be Catholics? Not really. So there's so many gifts, blessings, and how few Catholics take advantage of those. So many incredible blessings, and how little we really say, Lord, give it to me. What are you going to say this now? You people don't want those graces, Lord, give them to me. I'll take them. You don't want them? I'll take them. I'll take them and run, okay? Take them. Call upon my mercy on behalf of sinners. So my interpretation is the mercy hour and those who are dying. They're in their last agony. And even if there's someone that's not a Catholic, not a Christian, even a non-believer, even an atheist, still that person can be saved. The way I see it is the following. You know, the atheist is dying. You're praying the chaplet. Jesus presents the wounds in his hands, the wounds in his feet, and his pierced heart, from which blood and water is not trickling but gushing forth. There's a big difference between trickling and gushing forth. You got a trickling faucet, and you turn the faucet on, and it's just gushing out. Okay? Big difference. Jesus presents his hands, his feet, and his open side to God the Father. So God the Father is not so much looking at that atheist, but God the Father is looking at his beloved Son and his open wounds, and God the Father can deny nothing to his son as he suffers and offers his life's blood for that person. Got to see it that way. You hear me? Did you understand that? We look at that through that lens or that perspective. Yes, even a non-believer can be saved. Move on. I desire, are you reading it? Their salvation. I desire their salvation. That's the desire of the heart of Christ. We want to be saved. But God desires our salvation a million times more than we actually want our salvation. And you have to kind of see it that way. I want to be saved. I pray for that grace every day. That I'll have the grace of all graces to die in the state of grace. I pray that every day. But Jesus actually wants that more than I want it. Move on. When you say this prayer with a contrite heart, what does that mean? Every word here is very important. This is Jesus speaking to us, don't forget. Jesus is speaking to you is this. If we pray, but we're still clinging to sin, más o menos, huh? We're clinging to our anger, our lack of forgiveness, our lust, our greed, our materialism, our envy. If we're clinging to that, the power of our prayer is greatly diminished. I repeat, if we're clinging, say for example, someone hurt you and you're kind of forgiving them, más o menos, kind of. Huh? He hurt you, I want to see him squirm like a worm in hot ashes, then after that, you know, I'll forgive him, okay? Using a phrase of Adrian Rogers, okay? I want to see him suffer. Then, good, and I'll forgive you. Or you pray, Lord, I want him to be in heaven with me, but as far away from me as possible. If there's a North Pole, let him go with Eskimos, and I'll go down with the kangaroos in Australia, okay? Okay? It's kind of a sign that maybe you haven't really forgiven. So if we're clinging to sin to be freed of all encumbrance of sin, which was the Liturgy of the Hours tonight, okay, from Hebrews. Be freed of any encumbrance. I like that expression, encumbrance. You know what encumbrance means, Raquel? A pagel, attachment. So we can have our eyes fixed on Jesus, who's a pioneer that perfects our faith. The book of Letter of the Hebrews. Did you ever hear of holy indifference? Not yet? There you have it again. Holy indifference. Detachment from all that prevents us from loving Christ totally. Amen? Then, Jesus says, when you say this prayer with a contrite heart, today I made a comment on David in a couple of my homilies. Did David have a contrite heart? The thought that occurred to me in my homily was the greatness of David wasn't so much him killing Goliath or conquering the Philistines, or writing mystical poetry. We call that the Psalms. Or having a big palace there in Jerusalem. Or having the Hebrew girls sing, Saul has killed his hundreds, David has killed his 10,000s. I mean, it wasn't that, no? But rather, the greatness of David was a humble recognition of the fact that he was a sinner and he needed God's mercy. That, I really believe, was the greatness of David. All the other accomplishments were important, but I think they were secondary to him recognizing the fact that he was a sinner and in need of God's mercy. And that has to be us. And from his contrite heart, we have, I believe, the greatest act of contrition in the world. And that is Psalm 51. In Latin, it's called the Miserere. Beautiful, beautiful song. Pray it before you go to confession. Oh Lord, I have sinned. Not Bathsheba. Not Bathsheba. Why was she taking the bath on the rooftop anyway? No, I'm not going to blame her. I have sinned. My sin is always before my eyes. Always before my eyes. My sin is always before my eyes. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth, the prayer of the Holy Spirit. A humble and contrite heart, O Lord, you will not spurn. A humble and contrite heart, you will not spurn. It's the summary of Psalm 51. David was great because he recognized his own misery and his infinite need for the mercy of Christ. We have to be like David too. If we can say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, poor sinner, we're pleasing to God. At the end of my homily, I said, what would you like your last words to be? I said this, three things. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a poor sinner. Second, Jesus, I trust in you. Last, Jesus, I love you. You like that? Would you like those to be your last words? Maybe they will be. Maybe they will be. When all is said and done, my friends, we're only going to be saved by the infinite mercy of God. That's why we come every Friday night to plumb the depths of the infinite mercy of Jesus for you and for me. That's why we're here. And we end where Jesus says, with a contrite heart and with faith, on behalf of some sinner, I will give him the grace of conversion. I will give him the grace of conversion. And he gives us a very short prayer that we should try to memorize. Very short prayer. This prayer is very pleasing to God. And Jesus says, we pray this prayer fervently. This prayer can result in saving immortal souls for all eternity. You do me a favor? Could we all end our conversation this evening by praying this together? Could we pray it five times? So we're going to be praying this five times. We're going to pray that every time we say it, five times, five souls will be saved for every time we say it. That's a lot of souls if we trust. Do you trust? So let's say it together. Oh, blood and water gush forth from the heart of Jesus. As a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. Oh, blood and water gush forth from the heart of Jesus. As a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood of water, gush forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us. I trust in you. O blood of Jesus, which gush forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us. I trust in you. Once more. O blood and water, which gush forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us. I trust in you. The Lord be with you. Intercession of Mary and Saint Faustina and God's angels and saints, May God bless you with peace, joy, long life, and eternal life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. May God bless you, and we'll see you next week in the old church. And all those who are aware, we start the spiritual exercise tomorrow. Come and invite people who are starting tomorrow, Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So let's pray that a lot of people will come to this wonderful Lenten session, okay? God bless you. Able to get that one? Don't fall again.
Upon me thou hast laid thy hand. Oh Lord, how could I understand?
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by a few minutes each day can change your life during Lent. Ave Maria Press offers booklets for daily devotion, reflection, and more from such best-selling authors as Gary Zemak, Greg Kandra, Father Michael White, and Tom Corcoran, and so many more. Looking for Stations of the Cross booklets or books that are perfect for small groups? We have those too. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LENT20 to get 20% off your order today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch, artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.